Chapter number 23, you pray real hard this morning that the Lord would help me. I preached this message Thursday night down at Mount Ephraim. This is a message the Lord gave me Thursday night. It's the first time I'd preached it. But I have not been able to get this off of my mind. Dad was there. Brother Finley was there. Of course, Kim and Abigail and Chloe were there. But I think everybody else be the first time you've heard it, but I just have not, I've just known since then that I was supposed to preach this message this morning here at Mount Lebanon as well. So you just pray real hard that the Lord has His way and speaks to our hearts. You know, I don't care how many years you preach, it's not something you do in the energy of the flesh. If you do, it's no good. I have to have the help of the Lord. I have to have His anointing. And it's Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And if it's not done that way, it's not going to do anybody any good. And I stand in need this morning. So you pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts. I have preached out of this passage of Scripture here at Mount Lebanon. It's been several years ago now, and probably more than once, because I preached through the book of Proverbs, but I've not preached this particular message. So you pray real hard this morning that the Lord speaks to our hearts. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 29 through 35, we'll read those verses and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you so much for letting us be here this morning and the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I stand in need of thy help today. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would make it easy as I stand and try to preach this morning. I want to do my very best, but Lord, I need your help just as much or more than any time I've ever stood to preach. God, I pray for your help, for you to manifest yourself here in our presence today. God, I pray that you'd give us ears that would hear, Lord, as your word says. Let the Spirit, let us hear what the Spirit says unto the church. And God, I pray for that today. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to hearts. I pray you'd salvage lives. I pray that you'd change us. I pray that you'd burden us for the lost and those ruined and wrecked by sin. God, I pray that you'd make us thankful today for all the blessings that you've given to us, Lord. And I pray that your will would be done. Save some soul. Help us as only you can. We'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. So you pray this morning that the Lord has His way. I'll tell you how the Lord began to lay this message on my heart. Back several weeks ago, maybe even a month or a little more now, Kim and I, we had to go one day. We had to do some traveling. We had to go down the mountain, coming up through back from Hickory, and maybe even on the way down there, I began to notice that a certain company was spending a fortune in advertising certain product. And you know, you go to rent one of these big billboards beside the road, and I don't know exactly how much it cost, but I'm sure it's not cheap. You go to advertising and design and printing and putting it out and paying a monthly whatever it is. I mean, companies spend a whole lot of money in advertising. They're trying to get our attention, trying to get us to buy something, call somebody, think that we can't live without a certain product, that our life would be so much better if we had it. You know, that's what advertising is. It's to get you involved in, buying, addicted to, having a product. You know what I'm talking about this morning. So I noticed this advertising campaign must be pretty new. I hadn't never noticed it before, but I noticed this certain company and advertising this product. And what it is, just a big brown sign, got a great big whiskey bottle on it, a George Dickel bottle, and it says out to the side in great big letters, it says, "Do you know Dickel?" It's advertising George Dickel whiskey. And in saying that, what that is, "Do you know Dickel?" with a question mark, what it's getting you to think about in your mind, what it's placing in the minds of fathers and mothers and young people, and I mean just anybody. You know, once upon a time in our nation, liquor was not, it is not allowed to be advertised openly like that. You'd never seen a liquor, you'd never see a liquor advertisement on a billboard, in a newspaper, but a few years ago they changed that, and now it's on NASCAR cars, and it's beside the road, and it's everywhere, just put in front of everybody. Young people see that. Older people see that. People in the military think, and you know, if you've ever been in the military, you know trying to think of the word to use there. There's a lot of pressure put on people in the military that they have to conform to a certain image of maybe liquor and all of that stuff, and young people, it's pushed on them, and I mean, it's just all over the place now. But the message behind that, "Do you know Dickel?" is that if you don't know him, you should, and you should try it. And you know, there's going to be people that will read that advertisement, and they'll be at a place in their lives where they think they need to get to know George Dickel and liquor and drinking and all of that stuff. And so I began to notice that. And then the other day I was coming back. I'd had to go over towards Fosco, and I was coming home, and I noticed they'd advertising over there, big old billboard beside the road, not just probably less than 5 miles from the church here, "Do you know Dickel?" And the more I thought about that, the madder it made me. You know, it's all right to get mad over righteousness and over what's wicked and ungodly, and don't think this morning that it's wrong to be mad at sin. And the more I thought about that, the madder I got about it, and I began to think about it. And so I want to preach this morning on this subject. I want to preach on the subject, "Do you know Dickel?" And I want to preach it like this. Do you know Dickel? Yes, I know Dickel, and he's not who you think he is this morning. That's what I want to try to preach on with the help of the good Lord. But I want to go ahead this morning and use a pretty wide brush and make a pretty broad stroke, and I'll go ahead and just want to lump it all in together this morning. I'm not just picking on one company that's advertising. I was coming home from West Side last night, and I seen out in the country, out on the side of somebody's garage, great big old flag said Jack on it. Black background, white letters. I knew what that's talking about. That's talking about Dickel's friend, Jack. And I'm talking about Dickel, and I'm talking about Jack and Jim Beam, and go ahead and throw all the rest of whatever goes along with that in there, drugs, and all this running up down the road, and meth cooking, and young people hooked on prescription drugs, and all the sin that goes along with it, all the whoremongering and fornication and committing adultery and all of the child abuse and all of the drunk driving and all of that stuff. I'm telling you, this morning, I want to just lump it all together under the same thing, under the same category this morning. And you say, "Preacher, why you want to preach on something like that?" I mean, that makes people mad. You go to preaching on stuff like that. You know, I was thinking this morning, I wrote this down in the back of my Bible years ago, and it's just a little poem, and I think this is one of the reasons why I need to preach on something like this. This little poem says this: "And they of the church and they of the world walk closely hand and heart, and none but the Master who knoweth all can tell the two apart." You know what? It's no wonder we can't have revival in our churches in this day and time. It's no wonder that a lot of times when we come together, it's just as cold as Christmas among God's people, because we have so made friends with this world that hates God and is so steeped in sin. And somebody's talking about the old-time Christians and the old-time preaching and old-time revival and all like that. I wonder if some of these old saints could come back and come to church with us. You know what? As they heard the choir sing them old-time songs, I think they'd probably say, you know what? I like that. That's good. That's old-time songs. That's the songs we used to sing. And I believe if they could hear some of the preaching, they'd say, I like that preaching. That's how the old-time book. That's the old-time way. And that's how it ought to be. But I'll tell you where they'd fall out on the floor and faint and pass out is when they went home with us and they seen how we lived our lives at home, and they looked in our homes and they said, what's that box right there? And we said, well, that's a TV. And you said, well, what's a TV? And you know, you couldn't explain to somebody that didn't know what it was. And we said, here, let me show you. I'll just run the band for you. And about the time you run the band, I don't care what time of the day, you went through about 100 channels, and somebody had never seen how we live our lives and what we become accustomed to and what we're used to seeing with our eyes and listening to with our ears and saying out of our mouths. That's where the dividing line would be. Hey man, they'd pass out in the floor, never seen, never heard. They wouldn't understand how you could pump such filth into your home and stand there and think nothing of it. And you say, preacher, well, that's not me. Well, I'll tell you what, there's probably something else at your house that's just as bad and just as wicked. I was looking through the newspaper yesterday, and I'll tell you, on every page, there's somebody in their underwear, there's somebody in a bikini. I mean, our world is so sinful and so wicked, and we've so made friends with it, it's no wonder we can't have revival in the day and time in which we live. And I'll tell you, every once in a while, a man of God ought to stand up and point out and expose and preach against some things. So I want to preach along the subject this morning. Do you know Dickel? Yes, I know Dickel. And I know all of his friends and I know all that crowd. And I want to preach that this morning. So first of all, we're going to look here in verse number 29. Do you know Dickel? Yes, sir, I do. I want to tell you first of all this morning something about Dickel. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. Verse number 29, the Bible says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Now let me just say, on a technical point this morning, I don't care what you call it. You can call it beer, you can call it wine, you can call it liquor. The fact of the matter is, it's the alcohol. And in the Bible, yes, there's wine and there's mixed wine, there's alcoholic wine and there's non-alcoholic. And I'm talking about the alcoholic this morning, just technically speaking. Call it wine, call it beer, call it whiskey, call it liquor, call it cognac. It doesn't matter to me this morning what you want to call it, but when it talks about who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, it's talking about the alcohol crowd. That's what it's talking about. Now, George Dickel and all that crowd, and the devil himself is a deceiver this morning. And the only way the devil can get people involved in that junk to begin with is with a very, very good advertising campaign. Nobody would get involved with that junk if they really knew the picture behind the scene. But I'll tell you, buddy, the devil paints such a good picture of that stuff. You know, a good advertising campaign will make you buy something you know is a piece of junk. You know it's not what it's supposed to be. But if the words are right and it looks right and it's packaged right, you'll go ahead and lay out good money for it anyway, knowing it's a piece of junk. You'll get home and open it up and try it and it don't work. And you say, I should have known better. Why'd I do that? Why'd I buy that? Because the advertising was so good. Good advertiser can sell ice cubes to Eskimos. You know, the devil, he's the best at it. Oh, what an appealing picture that the devil paints of the liquor and the sin and the ungodliness and all of those things. I mean, the devil makes people think that they can't live without it and that it will better their lives. And it makes people think that, boy, I tell you what, if I just get involved in drinking, all my girlfriends would be pretty. All my boyfriends would be handsome. Oh, partying and nice cars. And you ever notice how the devil advertises that stuff? These people together, oh, they're having such a good, wonderful time getting along. They all look happy and healthy and they all look successful and all of that stuff. What a lie! They all look like they're getting along good. Love each other, having a good time together. We ought to call the Better Business Bureau Monday morning and say we'd like to lodge a complaint for false advertising because all that liquor crowd makes it seem so good and fine and wonderful and all that stuff. And I'm telling you this morning, it is a lie straight from the pits of hell. Who hath woe? It's what the Word of God says. You know what that word woe means? It means a lamentation. It means a crying out over a tragedy that has come in one's life. It's talking about when you get the bad news of the news that breaks your heart, the news that breaks you down, and it seems like it's heavier than you can bear, and all you can do is cry out and say, oh! Who hath woe? That's what it's talking about there. I'll tell you who's got it. Say, preacher, you know Dickel? Yeah, I know some things about him. I know he's got woe. Who hath sorrow? Along the same lines. Who hath contentions? That word contentions there, it means brawling. There's a reason why you hear about a barroom brawl. Fighting. Bickering. Families fighting, husbands and wives and in bars and strangers beating and killing each other and all that stuff. Who hath contentions and arguings breaking out and all that stuff? Who hath babbling? You ever been around somebody drinking? The more they drink, the looser that tongue gets. And the more you'd like to wish they'd shut up. Who hath babbling? I mean, the more they drink, the more they think they're interested, and people wants to hear what they've got to say and not just the ones close to them, but everybody all round about them. Who's that talking about this morning? That's talking about Dickel and all of that crowd. Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Well, I don't read that. I think about a sergeant I had when I was in the Air Force. I was 18, 19 years old at that time, and I thought he was ancient. But I think about it now, I bet he wasn't 35, 40 years old. He looked like an old man. He's all shriveled up, walked around, looked like he was 100 years old. And I'm telling you, there's never a day I didn't see them that his eyes was as red like a road map. He's a drunk. You can call it alcoholic. You can call it whatever you want to. He'd been in the Air Force so long, he should have been a senior master sergeant. By the time I left, I had the same rank as him because every time he'd gain a little, he'd go out and he'd get drunk and he'd get busted for that and they'd take his stripes away and he was a pauper. But he's one of the nicest men you'd ever meet in your life. He'd do anything for you. Bless his heart, he's a drunk. When I think about that redness of eyes, I think about him. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. There's a many of a young person sets out in this world and they think to themselves, you know what? I'm going to go out here. I'm going to sow a few wild oats. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:25, there's pleasure in sin for a season. Oh yeah, that advertising, it might go that way for a little bit. You might enjoy it for a little while. You might think to yourself, oh, I'm having the time of my life. This is such fun. This is such good. But I'll tell you, the real hard part comes when the day comes where you want to quit and you can't. There's a lot of people starts out. Nobody starts out and takes that first drink and says, boy, I'd like to grow up to be an alcoholic and ruin and wreck my life. There's a lot of it happens. Because people start out, oh, I'm just going to have a good time for a little while. I'm going to party. I'm going to live it up. And the next thing you know, their life is ruined and wrecked at a very young age. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You know what? That is a nice way to say you're a fool. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Isn't that a nice way to say a person's a fool? They're not wise. Do you know Dickel? Yes, I do. He's a deceiver. Second of all, this morning, look in verse 29. Not only is he a deceiver, just like the devil, but he is a danger as well. It said in verse number 29, it says, middle part of the verse there, it says, who hath wounds without cause? I can really sympathize with people who have trouble. I can. I mean, I don't want trouble in my life. I hate when it comes in other people's lives. I hate to hear about accidents. I've heard about this past week about people, different people that's had accidents. I can't tell you how many times a week the ambulance goes up and down the road in front of my house. Accidents happen. People get sick. People have problems, all of that stuff. But I'll tell you, they's untelling this morning how many times the ambulance goes down the road, or the sheriff department goes down the road, sirens blaring, risking people's lives, flying, trying to get somewhere, and they're going somewhere that somebody has got hurt. And it didn't have to happen. Totally uncalled for. Could have been completely avoided, but somebody got to drinking and lost their mind and acted the fool and hurt or killed somebody. Who hath wounds without cause? Look on down in that next two verses there. Look what it says in verse 31 and 32, what the Bible says. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. If you study that out in the Word of God, when it's talking there about at the last it biteth like a serpent, it's talking about that same type of serpent that the Lord sent among the children of Israel. In number 21 in verse 6, it said, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And I studied out about them serpents one time, and they were just a little old snake, and they came in multitudes among the children of Israel. And then when they would bite a person, it'd be like setting their blood on fire. And it would cause them not only to die, but to suffer an anguishing death, a suffering death, an unbearable amount of pain in their lives, and then they would die. Now the Word of God, God's not just writing stuff down to take up room. There's an application there. It said, in the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Do you know Dickel? I sure do. He's a danger. You look up the first time the word serpent is mentioned in the Word of God. It's in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, and the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. I've said this before, I say it quickly. I'm for killing snakes. I don't care if they're... Some people said, don't kill that. It's a black snake. It's a good snake. Don't kill that. It's a garden snake. It'll eat the insects. Hey, I'm for killing all of them just on the fact of the biblical principle that the devil appeared as a snake. So just kill them all in Jesus' name. It'll be all right. I don't thank the Lord, but I don't think ain't no such thing. Good snake, bad snake. The Bible says that this liquor crowd, at the last it biteth like a serpent. You know what? We live in such a day and a time. I don't know how many times I've dealt with this. I don't know. I'm telling you, I've been to talk to people that wanted to join the church. And I went to talk with somebody one time, and they had been coming for quite some time. They wanted to join the church, not here, but somewhere else. But they asked me about Well, preacher, what about, I noticed on the covenant it says up there, where is it? It talks about intoxicating beverages to abstain from. My eye's not lighting on it right now, but right over there it says in our church covenant that we're not going to be involved with it. We're not going to drink it. We're not going to sell it. We're not going to buy it. We're not going to have nothing. We are abstainers. Total. Complete. I've had people want to join the church, but they didn't see nothing wrong with drinking a little wine. They didn't see nothing wrong with going out to a restaurant and drinking some alcohol or going out with friends or, you know, there's all kinds of excuses under the sun. Oh, preacher, I don't see anything wrong with it just as long as you don't get drunk. Can you read? The Bible says not even to look on it, let alone drink it. Look not. If you are deceived thereby, the Word of God says you're not wise. Isaiah chapter 5 says, woe unto him that giveth a bottle his neighbor to drink. And on and on and on. Don't tell me the Word of God does not condemn drinking and alcohol and all of that stuff. Why not, preacher? Because it's a danger. It's a danger. Verse 32 says, at the last. You ought to underline that. At the last. At the last, if you don't think it's a danger, you go ride with the paramedics 1 week. You run up down the road. You go in the wintertime to the ski slope over here. And I was talking to somebody one time. They was talking about how many times they go out there and somebody's been drinking and skiing and hitting trees and getting killed and breaking bones and running over people. You go to ball games. Go to ball games where they're running around drunk, fall down, people walking all over them. Ride with the paramedic, ride with the sheriff's deputy. Go with the preacher to the hospital. It's a danger. It's a danger this morning. I'm telling you, this stuff is not anything to play with. It's not a child's game. It's dangerous stuff. Go with me sometime. To visit a family where somebody that's battled with this stuff for years and years, and I'll tell you what, there ain't no telling how many millions and millions of dollars is poured out in this country every year to try to rescue people and rehabilitate them and put their miserable lives back together. You go with me, go out to Hebron one Sunday afternoon. Watch them families come in. Watch them that don't have families anymore. Go out with me somewhere where somebody's blowed their brains out because they couldn't conquer this thing, couldn't get any relief, couldn't get over it, couldn't get done with it. Go out where they've drunk driving and torn their car over and a dead baby under there and the drunk sitting on the bank without a scratch on him. Don't tell me it's not dangerous. Bible said at the last, no, maybe not at first, hey, it's fun. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing, and it kills, and it steals, it's a danger. Do you know Dickel? Yeah, I know Dickel. I know the Word of God too. It says, for the wages of sin is death. It's what the Word of God says. He's a deceiver, he's a danger. Look in verse 33, he's a divider. Look what the Word of God says there. It says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Do you know Dickel? I do. He's a divider. Well, I tell you what, this morning, if we could get the lawyers and the judges and the attorneys and the teachers and the counselors, and if we could get pastors to come in and if we could get them to come to church this morning, and wouldn't it be nice to turn the tables on them and say, Mr. Judge, I'd like you to put your hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and I'd like to ask you something. What's killing our families, and what's causing divorce, and what about all this crowd in here that's in trouble this morning? Who's behind it? I'll tell you, they'd have to tell you if they's honest, old Dickel and his crowd. Meth and drugs, I mean, I'm piling it all together this morning. who's causing all this. He's a divider. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. People do something when they start drinking that otherwise they would not do. He's a divider this morning. Boy, I tell you, if we could bring the wives in, ask them what tore their house all to pieces. If we could bring the children in this morning, get them to testify and tell about how they's raised up and what their home life is, I'll tell you, they'd be multitudes. They'd line up from here all the way down the road as far as you could see, and they'd come through and they'd say, "Yeah, I know Dickel. He took my daddy. My daddy was never there. My daddy was a drunk. My daddy was gone. He tore our house all to pieces. He is out running women and mamas crying and us going without." Thine eyes shall behold strange women. That's what the Word of God says. Who tore my family all to pieces? Who took our wealth? Who took the hard labor and the pay from our family? Preacher, I know who it was. He's a divider, I'm telling you. Say, "Preacher, why preach on something like that?" You know what? It'd be good for us. I think sometimes we forget where we come from. I think sometimes because we got a big church that's on the side of the hill, we all come in on Sunday mornings looking pretty. I think every once in a while we forget where we come from or where we could have been if it were not for the grace of God. Until we get brokenhearted over sinners and families, I'm telling you this morning, these children in this community neglected because of a mom and daddy or one or the other out drunk and neglecting their responsibilities and not being what they ought to be, and their life's all a wreck. We just drive by and it don't bother us until we get brokenhearted over sin and realize this morning how dangerous it is and want to reach out and rescue the perishing. Care for the dying, that's what it's all about. How you going to do that if you don't have compassion, if you don't have a broken heart, if you don't even pay no attention how the other half lives? It's a divider. Broken homes, broken families, broken lives, lost jobs, lost health, sickness, bad heart feelings, people in prison this morning, killed and being killed over that junk. Yeah, I know Dickel. He's a divider. He's a deluder. Look in verse number 33. The Word of God says, "And thine heart shall utter perverse things." That word perverse there, it means this. It means to be a fraud. It means to be a lie. Thine heart, when a man gets to drinking, when a woman gets to drinking, thine heart shall utter perverted lying things. You know Dickel? I know Dickel. You know what Dickel does to people? He makes people think that they're better than they are. They get to drinking a little liquor and all this junk, and they think they can drive better than they could otherwise. That's why drunk driving's a problem in this country, and it always will be. Because a sober person knows better, but he gets a little something under his in his belly and running through his veins, and all of a sudden he's fine. Tell me nothing. Not having my keys, you know, it's a problem. Makes people think they're better than they are. Makes people think they're badder than they are. Makes people think they're stronger than they are. Makes people think they're smarter than they are. Makes people think they're more interesting than they really are. Makes people think all of them things. He's a liar to people, and he ruins and wrecks their lives. Makes a fool out of them. Gets their nose in the dirt. Rubs it there. And they don't even remember what a fool they've made out of themselves. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Last ASU football game I went to, I got one of my friends offered to take me. He had free tickets, and I realized when I got up there, why they's free. They can't pay people to go up that far. We was up in the very top. And we was up there at the football game, and first half, I didn't notice anything about it, but by the time the second half rolled around, there's a fellow over there, and he had them little bottles of the devil with him. And evidently, he'd been drinking the whole time. And by the time the second half rolled around, he wasn't even trying to sneak it anymore, and he'd transformed it. I've never wanted to push somebody down 827 flights of stairs in all of my life. How embarrassing. I was embarrassed for him, and I was from here to the wall away from him. And I thought, what a fool. What a fool. He thinks, as he stands there and makes an absolute fool out of himself, And I noticed he was with his family. I noticed he had some children there with him. There's probably teenagers, and there's a bunch of them all there together. I noticed those teenagers started sliding away from him there. I thought to myself, what a shame and disgrace that a man's children would be ashamed of him in public, but he's making a fool out of himself. I thought, what a shame. What a disgrace, but he thought everybody wanted to high five with him, and he thought everybody wanted to hear what he had to say, and he's just being a big fool all the time, being a big idiot. Probably don't even remember what he done. But I'll tell you, do you know Dickel? I sure do. He's a deceiver, he's a danger, he's a divider, he's a deluder, all of those things. That's how sin is this morning. I'm talking about all of it, all that the devil has out here and paints pretty and fine. It all comes under that category. Sin pulls the wool over our eyes, and we think everything's fine when it's not, and we think everything's good when it's not. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Boy, it pulls the wool over our eyes. We can't even see things as they really, really are. Dickel, he's a deluder. The devil, he's a deluder. He's a liar. He's the father of it. And last of all, look at verse 34 and 35. He told me, do you know Dickel? Yes, I do. And he is a dissatisfaction. Said in verse 34, yea, that shall be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? You know what he's describing there? He's describing getting drunk, passing out, waking up with a hangover, felt like he got beat up by the football team. Amen. Wanted to get rid of that feeling, couldn't. But you know what he said? He ought to have said, that's the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Why on God's green earth would somebody drink and put something in their body that caused them to expel their guts out the next morning and feel like a train had run over them? But you know what he said? He didn't say, I don't want no more of that. He said, I'll seek it yet again. I'll go back and do it again. Well, it's a sad, I will seek it yet again. Six words in the Bible. That's a sad testimony. I was talking to a friend of mine one time, and he was talking about his struggle with alcohol and drinking and stuff down the years. And he told me, he said, Brother Wynn, he said, you know, when the change in my life came, he said it was the day I began to realize that the ABC store didn't have enough liquor to satisfy how much I wanted to drink. And when I realized that the distillery down there could never make enough liquor to satisfy how much I wanted to drink, he said, I could drink it all and it didn't satisfy me. There's no end to it. No end to it. And that's why the old man there, whoever that is in Proverbs 23, he said, I'll seek it yet again. I've got to have it. I don't even know why. I can't stop, but I've got to have it. It's a dissatisfaction. It'll never satisfy. Let me tell you something this morning, there's not enough liquor in the world to satisfy your taste if you ever get a hankering for it. There's not enough beer, there's not enough wine, there's not enough drugs, there's not enough pornography in the world to satisfy the lusts of sinful men, the lust of this flesh. I was reading, studying about pornography one time. You know, the Bible says this. It says that it's over in Proverbs. I can't remember exactly where, but it says the eye is never full of seeing. If you ever saw so much, you said, boy, I'm full. I don't need to see any more today. That's how sin is. And I was studying about that. And when a person is hooked and people get hooked on pornography, when they're hooked on pornography and they begin to look at it and read and all of that stuff, then it triggers a chemical in their brain that does the same thing that cocaine does. It's a chemical reaction. It creates a false high. That's why people get addicted to it and they get farther and farther and farther along and there's never enough. I mean, these people that get raided and they've got child pornography, they've got whole libraries. Thousands and thousands of images, looks like, want to be just as good as another? I don't know, but why is it? Because the eye is never full of seeing. Sin never satisfies. You can never have enough. Never have enough. Enough liquor, enough sin. He said, I'll seek it yet again. It's a dissatisfaction. But you know what? This morning, listen to me. I'm almost done. I like when I find in the Bible that little word, but. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad when God buts in. I'm telling you, sin's a dissatisfaction, but there is nothing but satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in John 7:37-38, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus Christ himself said, if a man drink of me, he'll never thirst again. Boy, I like that. Praise God, you're looking awful sleepy, but I'm about to have a spell. Open the door, stand up or something. If you're saved by the grace of God and you've got a drink of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be the happiest, most satisfied. You ought to be thanking God this morning that you didn't go down that road. Jesus said, if you just call unto me, cry unto me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You'll be satisfied. You'll get a drink of something that'll satisfy you. It'll finally be enough. This world never has enough, but Jesus Christ has more than you'll ever experience in this life. It just gets better and better. I mean, the older I get and the longer I go, it's sweeter, it's more precious, it tastes better all the time. I want more, not less. It's good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He that hath no money, let him come and buy. And what the Word of God says, boy, it'll help you this morning. I like that song. It says this, all my life long I had panted for a draught from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him. And my soul is satisfied. I'm glad I found him this morning. Let me tell you something. I'm not throwing stones at anybody. Don't you ever think. I'm not looking down on nobody. I'm not trying to make somebody look bad or make me look bigger or holier or anything like that. I am not trying to do that because there, but for the grace of God, go I. My best friend about a year ago blowed his brains out over this junk. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've nursed him all night long, hauled him up and down, chased up and down the roads. He never got victory over that junk. Preached to him. Saw him have the victory in church and stand up and shout. Couldn't get over that. Couldn't get over that. Blowed his brains out. I'm telling you what I'm telling you this morning. I didn't find in some book. I've been there. I've lived that junk. Let me tell you something. I began to study and read about that. The more I thought about that, the madder I got. Yeah, I know Dickel. I know him. I know that crowd. I hate him. I hate him this morning. I began to study. I began to read about that. I went to the George Dickel website. I was looking for information about him and things, studying for this message. And I'm being honest with you this morning. I hate sin. I'm not proud of nothing I ever did. If it wasn't for the grace of God, buddy, ain't no telling where I'd be today. I'll tell you, as I read about that and I began to read about how they made liquor and what they done and how old it was, I'm honest with you this morning. As I sat there and read about it, I could smell it. I could taste it on my taste buds. I shut that mess down. I said, God, I don't need to know any more about that than I already know. You look how many years, I'm talking about years and years and years since I've done anything like that. I mean, way far. God called me to preach, but I'm telling you, son, the devil, he's got claws. If they ever once get in your flesh, buddy, you'll have a battle the rest of this life. That's why you young people, you'd better determine in your hearts, I'm going to stay away from that junk. I don't want to go down that road. There, but for the grace of God, go I. I mean, I could smell it. I could taste it nowhere around. I don't have none of that junk in my house, but I'm telling you, buddy, the flesh is powerful and it's strong, and that stuff, the end at the last. So, oh, preacher, I don't have no problem with that. You better thank God. If you're messing around with it, you better repent, get your life right. I'm not throwing rocks. I'm throwing out a lifeline. I'm trying to rescue people. I'm trying to tell them there's a better way. Prison ministry is wonderful. Homes, rehabilitation, all that stuff's good, but how much better to never have to go? How much better to stand up and have a testimony, preacher? I tell you, these young people, you're on my heart. What a time they have. Temptation, all that stuff out there. Be far better if one day you could stand up and say, my preacher, he preached on that stuff. I took it serious. I didn't go down that road. I've never drank. I've never drugged. I've never smoked. I've never done any of that stuff. God's kept me pure and clean. I can stand at the altar and look like it. I've lived like it. I've done it. Praise God for what a wonderful testimony. It's a precious thing. Don't you think you can go out here and flirt around with the world and play with the world and you not drag that junk around with you the rest of your life? I'm flying out a lifeline this morning. Jesus Christ, the best thing that's ever happened to me. He's the best thing that's ever happened to you this morning. You ought to praise Him. You ought to thank Him. I'm going to be done. My parents shielded me from that stuff. Never brought that in my home. Never seen anything like that while we was being raised up. I appreciate my parents. I remember first time I ever seen anybody drinking beer, and I couldn't believe it. And when we got away, I asked Daddy, I said, he was driving a truck, and we had to go somewhere. A man is working on his truck, and he had a Bud Dummer sitting up on his tire. I'd never seen anything like that. I bet I was 8, 9 years old. I said, Daddy, what's that? Man, I thought only demons. I mean, I was pure. I didn't know. Praise God. Praise God. Appreciate my parents guarding my home life. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.